Welcome. I'm happy to have Isaac Cabby here, the number one student of the podcast. I've known Isaac for 3 years. He's come to our 7 o'clock class every single morning. And I want to introduce him. He's done tremendous, tremendous work. He's helped me a lot and contributing to the classes. Specifically, we're going to talk about a specific chart that he came up with, where basically he grouped all of our classes into a diagram, since he's an architect. And it's an honor to have you, Isaac.
Thank you so much, Gedalia. It's my honor to be here with you, and thank you for the invitation.
So the reason why I brought you up, obviously, is to give you, we're going to be posting that chart in the WhatsApp group. It's a compass of consciousness, how basically we go from pain to purpose. How'd you come up with this? Which is, I think it's, God willing, we'll do a book together one day. But I've used this chart with my recovery centers. I've used it with so many people, and so many people have gotten such benefit from it.
Yeah, thank you. Well, first of all, I think we are all your number one students. Mm-hmm. I think we're all, each of us from our own life, our own way, going through our own things, our own situations.
We're all Rab Nachman students.
And definitely I started this new chapter of my consciousness growth, the growth on consciousness, 3 years ago when I met you, which was right when my dad passed away, which was 3 years last week, during COVID, in the middle of COVID, May 14th, the 20th of the year. And of course, you can imagine the whole storm and the chaos that we were going through. He passed away in Mexico during a trip that I invited him to come to Mexico, which was what he wanted after spending several years here in the U.S. dealing with his health issues. He had a window where his doctors approved him to go to Mexico. He got his green card, so he flew down to Mexico May 6th, 2020. Wow. And I was supposed to come back to pick him up 2 weeks later after he went to visit everyone he wanted to visit, and he was ready to come back after a wedding to Miami. And of course, we all know what happened. COVID hit, we had a lockdown, I wasn't able to travel, and we decided him to stay down there. And 2 months later into COVID, he passed away. Not related to COVID, but definitely COVID was a big burden for us to have all the logistical issues develop. I wasn't able to be with him on his service, on his burial service, which was very painful. Sure. I had to experience his burial service through a WhatsApp video call. Wow. And everyone was dressed like astronauts, and nobody knew what was going on. And it was like looking at a surreal sci-fi movie, which got me all confused, into surrender mode. We had a very, very close relationship. And of course, not being with him in those last moments was very painful for me. So as you can imagine, I was very, very close into going, feeling ashamed, feeling the grief. I was already mourning my dad. Being guilty about why did I take him to Mexico, why did I have to make that decision. And now looking back, hindsight 2020, I understand that because I wasn't able to be with him in Mexico, I was the only one in my family who was able to daven and go to a synagogue and have a minyan, because to say Kaddish, because there was only one synagogue in Miami that was brave enough to have minyan outdoors in the patio, which is the one that we both went to. So that's how I met you. That's how I started going to your classes. And of course, your classes became my healing therapy. We were not able to sit Shiva together with the family, just our own core family. We weren't able to go with my sister and my brother. Each of us was sitting. So your classes became my therapy. Wow. And just like 9 years before, I knew I was going to be devoted to saying Kaddish for the whole year, because that's what I did for my mom 9 years before. Mm-hmm. And at that time, that experience of losing my mom made huge changes for me and my family. That's when while we were recalibrating our priorities, we decided to move from Mexico City to Miami, which of course gave us a whole new bunch of opportunities and a new range of the road was changed directions for my whole family. So I knew good things were coming, and there was going to be a breakthrough through me losing my dad. And I decided to go all in. I decided to go all in and not only cherish my belief in Hashem, but also be open to establishing a relationship with him in a way where I was already vulnerable. I was already not going to work. I was already working from home.
You were raw.
Going,
you
I was raw, as raw as you can be.
Teachable.
And I thank Hashem for the opportunity to be in a situation where he also sent me the information, my guides, my mentors, and my rabbis and the Torah enough for me to be able to overcome that situation. My first experience and my first lesson from Rabbi Nachman was that Hashem takes away your mind and your consciousness. Right. And that helped me cope with the idea that it wasn't about me. Any decision I made as a caregiver for my dad, it wasn't about me. It was about my service to Hashem. It was about showing my dad my love. He had his own story. His own story had to develop the way it had to develop. But it was up to me to see how I was going to take that experience in order that I can propel from that and take the best things from the experience of losing him physically and reconnecting with him spiritually. And definitely the second experience was the ability to get to know myself, because if I was going to acknowledge that by saying Kaddish every morning, every afternoon, every night during prayers, I was really creating a cosmic effect. It wasn't just about a symbolism. It wasn't just about doing my mission or fulfilling my mission as a son. It was really about being convinced that with each word, acknowledging Hashem's greatness and holiness, I was standing in front of him with my pain, with my loss, and recognizing that he rules the world. Then I was able to understand that with our words, with our actions, we're establishing a connection with our Creator in a way that we're really making a difference, not only in this world, but in the whole universe, in his whole creation.
Did you ever have any experience with, I know you talk a lot about physics, and you're very into Greg Braden and Joe Dispenza. It's funny because we're onto the same things, and obviously David from Letting Go. Mm-hmm. But how did you, what brought you differently? You were learning before your father passed away, obviously. You were learning. What were you learning, and how did Rabbi Nachman really bridge that gap?
I was learning more secular wisdom and not more secular currents and more secular books. But definitely my greatest revelation was when I understood, I came closer to Hasidic knowledge and teachings. Coming from Sephardic backgrounds, it was always my relationship with Hashem was always through what I do and what I say, or what I don't do and what I don't say from the Halachic standpoint. So when I was exposed to the Hasidic knowledge and wisdom, I understand it's not only about what you do and what you say, it's about what you feel and what you think. That gives the power to what you do and what you say.
Chochma bina dat.
Chochma bina dat.
Right.
And up to that moment, I had been very intimate, very, very protective of my feelings. Not easy for me to open my feelings up to that moment. But then I understood that it is through our feelings, through our thoughts, and through our being vulnerable and allowing ourselves to be exposed, that we really have that ability to connect with Hashem. So at that point, I could understand that anything that someone can learn outside Torah can be rooted into Torah. And in any way that you think you're really having a relationship with Hashem by doing and saying things and wrapping tefillin and then just putting it away and go to work without saying, okay, I fulfilled my religious, we checked the box, and then going to other areas in our lives where we don't invite him to be there. That's having a relationship with Hashem in our terms, thinking that we're having a relationship based on that levels of consciousness, because that's what we want to believe. Those are the terms that we establish. We are here, he is there, and we bridge that gap by knowing that we're having, as far as we understand, a relationship.
Staying out of trouble, basically.
Staying out of trouble, working with morals, being respectful,
right,
and fulfilling the basic mitzvot. But it is really when he shakes us up a little bit that we understand that it's not on our terms. It's in his terms.
Exactly.
And in order for us to connect with him in his terms, we need to be vulnerable. We need to open our hearts. We need to be available. Mm. We need to go.
Present.
Be present. Be able to overcome our challenges, do what we need to do, and then let go and release the brakes and let him run his magic, because We're
right. So I think the whole problem is just stems from so much control. We think we know everything. We want to control everything. We want to, and obviously you can't let God in. So it's amazing how you said that you started feeling the broken heart, feeling a broken heart yet feeling connected at the same time, which is really the opposite of what people say. It's depressed. It's a lack of a broken heart. Broken heart and depression are completely different. So broken heart is extremely valuable. It's extremely precious. But depression, God forbid, we have to stay away. Obviously, the clinical one. But it's funny how you went into the broken heart, not into the depression, because many people can get into guilt and shame and depressed after a situation like that.
Yeah, and there's a very
big shift.
Yeah, and there's a very thin line.
Right.
That if you get closer, you start getting the heat and the pain. And as close as you get, there's a force drawing you back there,
right,
down there. There's a gravity force that is not natural to be available for Hashem. It's not natural for us to create that the relationship. It is more prone. We're more prone to going the other side,
correct?
Because we are in He created a perfectly imperfect world, in which we come into that nature. We're born into that nature. As human beings, we're exposed to that environment in which we're surrounded by imperfection,
right,
and it is more natural for us to go on the way of depression, sadness, guilt,
gravity.
Shame. That gravity force pulls us down, and it is our supernatural ability when we feel empowered to really go against that force,
right.
And we cannot get that empowerment if we are protective, if we let our ego run the show, if we don't allow ourselves to be teachable, and we don't go through those moments in which it's out of our control, and that's where we start our growth.
I know you're big into Hizbut Dedut. That's one thing you grasp, and I think that's why you've gotten so far, because there's no way you get these insights unless you're talking to Hashem. But it's funny how doing Hizbut Dedut, which means a conversation with God, that really, really allowed you to open up your mind. Tell me some of your experience with this Hizbut Dedut, how you started. I always like to hear from other people. Like I know my path started the first 6 months. I got the world knocked in my head. The world came over me, and then I got squeezed so bad that God got everything out of me. Tell me a little bit about how your journey with Hizbut Dedut was. Hizbut means obviously talking to Hashem, having a conversation with daily conversation.
Well, it was in this search of connecting with my Creator, being able to have a conversation, not only a monologue in which I'm the only one speaking, assuming that I am here, He's there, and someday when He's not busy ruling the world, He's going to listen to what I'm having to say. But it was through the desire of really getting to know Hashem and opening my heart and releasing all those feelings that I had been keeping inside my heart for so many years, and being available in a way where I can just come up to Him and open. So right from the beginning, I had a lot of time on my hands that I had to put into a good use. So I started, I gave it a try. I felt good. I have to be honest, the first times, the first weeks, the first month, it was awkward. It wasn't easy to get the words flowing. It wasn't easy to get myself in the mood. But once I understood that I needed to do it every day consistently at the same time, especially in the morning, at the same place where I could feel the flow, where I knew nobody was looking at me, I was not looking at anyone else.
Build momentum.
So I could build the momentum to a point where I just let go, and he took over. He took over what I was saying. He took over what I was feeling at that moment, to a point where I stopped recognizing myself while I was doing it. I was saying, who is this guy inside me that's speaking through my mouth? Wow. Ideas that I had never ever thought about or never ever read about. And probably situations in which 10 years ago, if someone would tell me that this is something that you can achieve, I would say, you're not being... totally open with the experience, but the experience is so rooted inside you, and the desire to come in front of Hashem, open up, and allow Him to communicate as a dialogue.
Right.
Because now it's not just you speaking to Hashem, it's Him responding you, by putting the words that you want to hear, that you need to hear through your mouth, okay, in the benefit of yourself, but only in a transformational way in which after you finish saying hipodedut and you come back inside, you're not the same person anymore. And that information that you have now goes with you throughout the day, and you start experiencing situations in which you say, I was just so connected with Hashem that I'm not allowed to act this way anymore. Right. Now I need to address my situations in a different way, because I was just dancing with him and speaking to him, and he's answering me. And it's funny because I also acknowledged that throughout the day, he would answer the questions or the requests that I had that day based on our dialogue and our conversation, either from your classes, books that I read, messages that I heard, suddenly being in a restaurant and hearing someone yell something that was exactly what I needed to hear. And that becomes fascinating because you understand that you're really having a dialogue. It's not just davening and going to work and then closing that chapter for the rest of the day until the next day. He's carrying Hashem with you throughout your activities. Everywhere you go, everything you do, he's there with you. And you're available and he's available in order to have that.
It's amazing because this is where I get all my answers. In his boat to do it myself, I get rid of all my questions and I get answers there. I get answers there. Because I don't focus on the answer, I focus on getting rid of the fear behind the questions. Mm-hmm. And you could see how the world is so stuck. They're stuck on who should I marry, who should I date. And they're not spending time in this place where God takes over you. It's exactly what happened to you is exactly what happened to me. God will take over your mouth. That's Ruach HaKodesh. That's a spirit of prophecy. And it's good to hear that from a different person. You know, just to feel that feeling. I also, in my session, I get goosebumps sometimes. I get, you know, different things happen. And it's something that just you can't, it's hard to explain. It's a body experience, and the more you do it, the more you know what to diagnose.
Right, and you start recognizing your environment as well. I sometimes see shooting stars right in the climax of my conversation when I really want to know that he's listening to. I see shooting stars, or suddenly I hear a fish jumping in the water. I can hear the birds waking up. So you become one with everything that's in your environment, and your prayers become those animals' prayers as well, as much as they are also praying. So it becomes something that is...
Imagine that God puts a person through such an experience in his life, all this pain, so he can get to feel this oneness and joy. Yeah, I mean, if you look at it at the end of the day, it's like, wow, all of this pain that got me to this, thank you. You know, that's the real gratitude. Mm-hmm. Like where you feel connected. Amazing, amazing. So tell me about how did you come up with this? You showed me this chart. I was floored. I mean, because you put all my classes pretty much in a diagram, and you gave people really, really. You're an architect. I don't have the head to put. I'm an emotional speech. I don't. That's one thing I lack is being able to see all in it. But you literally put this what a person has to go through. Just talk a little bit about. Obviously, we're going to give the chart to everybody, but talk a little bit about the chart. On how just the steps and on how a person goes through a circle. Sure.
Well, this chart came to fruition because I needed a tool for myself, because 6 months into doing it bodedut, learning Torah, doing my routine and davening to Hashem and being exposed to everything that was going on.
Right.
It was October 2020, and as you know, if the world was still flipping up, and when you are awake, Hashem wakes you up. The first thing that happens is that now you recognize your life doesn't become perfect just overnight. It never does.
Right.
But even if
the process begins.
The process begins. That's when the game begins.
Right. The process begins.
And the most painful thing is looking at yourself, react to situations from your previous point of view or from your previous consciousness, knowing that you're not doing what you should be doing and not being able to stop yourself. Because the Yetzer Hara is taking charge. As you grow, the Yetzer Hara grows with you. So the most painful thing is to see yourself going back into a bad
like
habit,
an addict,
reacting in a way that you shouldn't be. But now you're aware. You're looking at yourself from a different perspective. Okay. And that became very painful for me. because exactly what I learned that day, I was challenged and I failed. And it was double the pain. So I, doing it, I asked Hashem, I only ask you for 1 second before reaction, before reacting. I'm an Aries, I react, I'm fire, and then I have to come back and ask for, I'm sorry to everyone around me because I burned them with my fire. At least that's how it was just my natural instinct. And I was so protective of that natural instinct.
It's funny, I had an employee that is an Aries, and he was making almost $500,000 a year. And he got fired because he couldn't keep his mouth shut.
Yeah.
Now he's obviously pissed off. He wants his job back, but he couldn't keep, it was so bad.
Yeah.
It was just so bad. But it's funny how you hear it from this side, how... You know, until you live that, hear this, you don't realize how bad it is.
Yeah, my wife, who has always been next to me, she has to put up with it. She knows that
you have Aries is paro, the paro complex.
Exactly. She knows I just need 10 minutes. It will go away, just like a shooting star.
Incredible.
And then I'll come back. I'll say I'm sorry, and I'll do teshuva, wow, and whatever it goes. So I needed a tool. I asked Hashem, give me a tool that can give me 1 second before reacting. If I can have 1 second before reacting. Of peace of mind, before reacting, exactly, so that I can respond, prevent.
Exactly.
And I started saying, okay, constricted consciousness, expanded consciousness, what is under Hashem control, what is under my control, what's my ishtadlut, how can I let go and recognize that He's the one ruling the world, and I'm just a player in the game. And I'm grateful to be a player in the games, but I need to be my best. I ask Him, if you want something from me, I need to be the best I can be for you, because your expectations of, I'm not meeting the expectations that you have for me, and that I'm embarrassed for that. Give me a tool. So
that embarrassment is enough. You know, embarrassment enough is the biggest cleanser of sin.
Yeah. But you want more. Right. You want to overcome that embarrassment. You don't want to be stepping on the same stone all over and over.
Correct.
And as soon as I came back inside, I started sketching, and from that day, everything I saw was circles, cycles, up and down.
Incredible.
And it took me like a month where I got to a point where my wife told me, are you working on that again? I had to hide my computer from her when she was walking around me because I was obsessed. I was obsessed with the fact that I needed that tool in order to be able to use it as a compass. We navigate life. We come into this life where change is constant, where we are exposed to so many things. And we're never comfortable with who we were yesterday. We always want something more. But in that search of wanting something more, we trip and we fall. Mm. And we want to come back. And the only way to do it is knowing where we are. If we don't know where we are, we can't get to where we need to go. And that's the function of a compass. The compass, the first thing, your ways in your car, the first thing that tells you is where you are. And then it asks you, where do you want to go? And the ability for us to zoom in and zoom out. You mentioned this, and I love the analogy. Looking at ourselves from the microscope and the telescope.
Correct.
In a way where we can go deep inside us and allow us to know ourselves and understand that we're part of the universe, of Hashem, and we're part of the unity. And also at the same time, look at ourselves from the distance so that we can understand that we're also part of this creation. As much as we're individuals, we're also in unity with Hashem. And this chart, what allows us to do is to understand where we are. What are those major things, those pillars that gives us existence that come from Hashem, that we think we are the ones that are under control of those five different areas in our lives? What are, if we could ask all your followers right now in a survey, what is keeping you awake during your nights? What is taking your sleep away? We'll probably be able to put those worries into five different buckets. Right. One is life. Our survival mode, being alive, remaining alive, being a human. Our health, being healthy. Not everyone that is alive is healthy, unfortunately. Hopefully soon everyone will be healed. Our wealth and everything that is surrounding our wealth. Our relationships on all levels, with Hashem, with ourselves, with our spouse, with our kids, with our brothers, siblings, parents, etc. Even with strangers, and our environment, all the political, the economical, the climate change, everything that's surrounding us, COVID, everything that is surrounding us. So everyone can put their worries into five different buckets.
Which is all rooted in survival at the end.
Which at the end of the day is all rooted in survival.
This is all a form of survival.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's why letting go is so important, because all you're doing is trying to survive in life. If you don't know how to let go, you're so obsessed with more safety and more safety and more safety, and you never know, you never press, you live your whole life on way too much safety and you never press the gas.
But when we think that we are the ones that are in control on these five areas in our lives, of our lives, we come into pain. We may have some very short periods of fulfillment, knowing that we are the ones that control our life, our health, our wealth, our relationships, and our environment. And when we do, when we have all of those in balance, we have so much pleasure that we want to continue to have that that status in our lives. And we cannot sustain that situation, that status in our lives. We have to go up and down. And when we go into that, you know, that desire of controlling those five buckets in our lives, we definitely start feeding our ego, and we go into a comfort zone when doing that short period. That's one of the spots in the chart.
Right.
We go into our comfort zone, then we start feeding our ego.
So first we get hit with life itself. Then the first thing is we don't have a vessel to deal with it. We go straight into a comfort zone.
Right.
And then comes.
Then comes the being egocentric, thinking that we control everything.
And we need to blame somebody.
And we need
for
to blame
situation.
For everything. We're victims.
To justify why we're going through it.
Exactly.
Justify why is it happening and who did it. And
exactly.
That whatever time that's spent on that area of resistance, pretty much.
Exactly.
Which is all ego, right?
And then when that becomes unbearable, we go into darkness. We go into stagnation and chaos. And that's where anger, depression, anxiety,
grief worked.
Because nothing worked.
Correct.
We thought we were on control of those five pillars in our lives. And of course, we take part of the programming on those five areas, but at the end, the result is up to Hashem. And we fall into a vicious cycle in which we go back to our comfort zone, we go back to being egocentric, we go back to darkness, and right when that feeling becomes unbearable and we're ready to go into light, we get some very low-hanging fruit back in the Yetzer Hara, bring us back to comfort. And that's how we can spend our whole lives just on a loop, being on the left side of the chart, which is the constricted consciousness. It is until that pain becomes unbearable that we touch the lowest of our low,
right,
when we surrender to Hashem and we allow Him to take over control back again. We accept that He controls our lives, and that's when we come
to the highest point.
And that's where the growth starts. If you see the chart, the lowest point of the chart, that's where the growth starts.
It's funny because we were commanded with the first mitzvah, which is as soon as we left Egypt, which is the moon, and the moon was just a little bit, and as soon as they saw the minute, you can bless the moon, and that's the whole point is that the whole concept of Rav Nachman is that the darkest part of the night, yet the beginning of the night starts next to it. Mm-hmm. And that's Hatzot. That's the beginning of the thing. So it's funny how we think the illusion is, I have to be, how can I go to the biggest light when I'm in this dark place? That's what we don't understand. If it's not for Hasidus, go to a Sephardic synagogue, they'll tell you, you're going to get the biggest light when you hit rock bottom. It's not a concept. Mm-hmm. They're not bringing these concepts home of the greatest opportunities come when you literally are at the path of surrender.
And we need it because.
But to put it in a chart is really visual. That's really, it's so hard. I think the visual, I show this to addicts, people in recovery. They don't understand. They don't even know how to get to it. But they see it. Oh, mm-hmm. I could see what the benefits of surrender. Wow.
Yeah. And then on the right side, we have the expanded consciousness, which is, of course, what we want,
that's
yearn,
when momentum
and what
begins.
We desire. That's when the momentum begins. Right. And that's when we start rising. Right. But the nice thing of this is that this is a compass. And just like a geographical compass, as you move, your directions move as well. So we cannot be in balance on every area of our lives all the time.
Right. Or marriage, sometimes your business is you're on the yellow, you're on the right side.
Exactly.
And in your marriage you're in a comfort zone. You're in resentment. So it's funny how you can in certain areas of your life you can really use this.
Because this is dynamic. We're navigating life, And this is a dynamic tool in which we can know where we are so that we can at least do the basic thing, which is surrender. That split second that we get before before reacting through our animal instinct, through our nature, which is exactly what we need to overcome. Mm. That nature that we all have individually while we face a challenge is exactly the opposite way. We need to go exactly the opposite way, which is being in surrender, allowing Hashem to take control, regroup, be present, be grateful, and then start all over again.
Right.
And if we can do that cycle over and over, which in a way that we can create that space in our psyche in where we can go to that place every time that we need to, then we can suffer less.
I think a lot of people are burnt out of these cycles of ups and downs. But can we say, hey, I'm burnt out of this new month coming? It's half a month. This is a cycle of our lives. And the Shechina, the moon, is the divine. It represents the moon. That means we're not going to be fully, you know, I never understood the concept of the ups and downs. So unless you have a better definition of dealing with ups and downs in your life, which Reb Nachman calls running and returning, you could lose your mind. Because the minute you think you're there, you have clarity. Next thing you know, you're back to this. You're back again. You know, you lose 20 pounds. Next thing you know, you gain back 10, and it could be very discouraging.
Absolutely.
For people, it could be very mentally discouraging. But people, I want to move forward. But I keep on getting. But the whole point is you go to a higher level. That's what people understand. So you don't reach the same low. You go to higher. It's a new higher.
Absolutely. And I think it's all a matter of expectations.
Right.
We were raised and we grow thinking that our expectation of life is that it should be happy always. It should be easy always. That everyone loves us. That we love everyone. And everything should be in balance. And we should be as rich as we can be. We should be as healthy as we could be. Everything is going to work on your favor. And then you grow up. And that's how it needs to be throughout our first 20 years. Why? Because that framework that is created by our parents, our teachers, people that love us, is what helps us survive. We just said that the first pillar in our lives is to survive.
Correct.
We need that framework to build the ego so that we can survive. And we, of course, we cannot despair in life. We need to know that life is fruitful and life brings opportunities. But if our expectation is that everything should be perfect, then any imperfection, any low, hurts.
Right.
I read last week from the Zohar completely the paradigm to that idea, in which we're told that since conception, we're paired with our Yetzer Hara. And through our first years, we're paired and
the Yetzer Hara is the ego.
The evil instinct, our evil side. You can picture it however you want.
People that don't understand, right?
And we're paired because, of course, we're coming into an imperfect world. This world is imperfect. It was done by a perfect being on purpose so that we can come into this world and make it better than it was the day we were born. So what if we flipped our vision of the world in which we assume that this is a rule of nature, that we are exposed to nature, that being human beings, we're part of that nature, and it is easier for us to fall than it is to rise. So then when we rise, we will celebrate.
I like that.
We will celebrate our ability to be in the highs, and when we are low, we should say that's normal.
Very nice.
I'm not normal. When Hashem is with me, I'm empowered. And if I'm empowered, I have the ability to look for those highs. And if those highs are meant to be for me, then I will reach those highs. So that way, the unforeseen circumstances that we qualify as bad or as low then becomes part of the way it should be.
Right.
And then we have the opportunity to make a difference and come back stronger.
I like that a lot because instead of being a perfectionist, you become a good enoughness and more of an optimist. We're living in a thinking of if things go wrong or you're a perfectionist, something goes wrong, the world is over. But if you have this mindset of an optimist or rethinking positive thinking, which means, yes, I'm going to be happy, but it could take me a couple steps to get there. But it's too much today. You see too much low self-esteem and exactly what you're saying, too much butchering, too much. People are abusing themselves and talking bad when they fall. But that's the gravity. That's really, that's the shattering of the vessels. And we have to pick up those sparks, not but the vessels will shatter in our lives.
And that's great exactly mindset, great point. That's the moment when we have the opportunity to be useful.
Correct, right.
To make the difference. To put everything that we have received from our Creator, our resources, our merits, our knowledge, our abilities, everything that we represent, which at the end of the day is His investment in this world. He's investing in this world through us because He has a mission for the world to be a better place since we are here. And if we feel empowered with that mission and we understand that every day we have a new opportunity to put to good use all the resources, all the merits, all the talents, all the relationships, everything that we represent from the soul state, and we give it a push from the soul, and we just look for the higher benefit, then we reach that level of happiness where it doesn't matter what's going on around us.
Right.
We know we're putting ourselves in a position to be useful and be available
right.
for the master plan.
Because at the end of the day, self-esteem is nothing but an opinion. It's just an opinion. It's your opinion of yourself. And if you have a healthy perspective, you could stop knocking yourself so much. And that will give you the fuel to start to get going, which is it's extremely important because self-esteem is the key to everything. Mm-hmm. But if we don't have this, your point is very, very, it's amazing. That when you're doing up, praise, celebrate. But when you're doing down, it's normal. We're not. Nobody has Olam Hazeh here. Don't make it worse. Don't sink with the ship. Just that's where you're at right now. Accept it where you're at, and then yearn to get higher. Beautiful. I like that. Yeah.
And again, if we see our lives from the telescope and we assume that right before we were conceived,
right,
our soul was able to see all those challenges that we were going to be facing throughout our lives. We already saw the movie.
Correct.
And we already, in a very, very high level of our soul, we know what's going to happen. So every time you're faced with a challenge, if you think this is how it was meant to be, me facing that challenge,
right,
and now it's up to me come up to the plate and do the best I can do to make this situation better, then all the problems become opportunities. And we can see those problems or those challenges with excitement instead of fear, which if you see at the chart, the one of the lowest parts of the chart is fear. Most of the time we react based on fear, anger, guilt, shame. And all we need to do is be conscious about it so that we can let go and exchange those feelings with gratitude, with patience, and bring ourselves back to the moment. Remember what date is today, and understand that everything that has happened in your life has happened when that day was today, and everything that will happen in the future will happen when that day becomes today.
How much of the David Hawkins Letting Go book and the Map of Consciousness? I think his stuff is just the whole point is you could put it on a map. Okay, I'm feeling shame. I'm feeling guilt. I think it's such a huge contribution to society. I'm surprised we don't have that in the Torah. But at the end of the day, just to see, okay, imagine if I told you, joy is like on a level of consciousness of 300 or 350. Imagine if I told you, a guy, listen, in order for you to be happy, to have Shalom Bayit, you have to score 350. He's going to do whatever. He's going to let go any negativity to get to 350. But the whole point I like about the charts is we can visualize it. We can visualize this is where I got to get to instead of being lost in life and running away from everything. How much did it help you, the David Hawkins stuff?
A lot. I think his book is magnificent. I think it could be a college degree just based on
just
on his series.
People should take a class on letting go. Because we could see that everything's happening today and everybody's the way people treat each other is based on how they're feeling about themselves.
Yeah.
It's all the stored stuff that hasn't. We have to figure out how to really, really bring this more into Judaism practicality.
Yeah. And starting by letting go, not only the situations around you or the people around you or the outcomes, letting go of yourself.
Right. Letting go of yourself.
On learning in order to be teachable, becoming nobody in order to become somebody.
Exactly.
And understanding that this is not possible for a 13-year-old, 14-year-old. You would not do him any favor if you brought these teachings to him. But when you mature, you need it. You need to let go of all of that armor that you needed while you were growing up, which is now heavy and is not allowing you so to succeed in life. So when you let go of yourself And in order to let go, you can succeed. And in order to let go of yourself, you need to know yourself better.
Right.
You need to look at yourself in the mirror, and you need to understand that you can be the reflection. That we see ourselves in the mirror, and we raise our right hand, and the reflection is raising the left.
Mm.
Right? So just from there,
right,
just from the fact of what we see in the mirror, we're already mistaken. Because the reflection is not the real you. When you really look into your eyes and you go penetrate into your soul, and you understand that our human life, our opportunity to be in this world, is amazing. We're living in a moment when the world is going through amazing changes. We're going through a moment in life where we know of the universe more than any other generations that came before us. We can see with telescopes farther than anyone else in history, or we can go look deeper into our bodies, right, like anyone else. And we are empowered with so much knowledge that now Torah is being taught to everyone else in the secular world through different worlds, different words, different means. But at the end of the day, we hold the truth. We hold the origin. We hold the ability to be connected to those teachings from our DNA. And the human experience is temporary. We're here,
exactly.
we jumped into the world while the world was already moving, many, many millions of years away from its origin. And we're gonna go from the point that the world was when we were born into the point that we are allowed by Hashem 120 in our lives. And during that period of time, we have the ability of making the difference from where we are. And if you didn't make it today, don't worry, you can make it again tomorrow, because the day will start again just as it started today. But we cannot let our lives go and pass by our eyes just being worried.
Correct, yeah. It's
and just being
yes,
concerned. And just being, because I saw it with my experience with my parents. And that's when it hit me to understand that we're not here forever. And if you're still young, mm-hmm, if you're still here, if you have your resources, if you have relationships, if you have abilities, don't let another day go by, sure, without you doing the best you can do. And definitely we are empowered, and this is how we turn back to Hashem,
there's
and
no,
we show
no
him.
There's no question that the death definitely losing my son definitely showed me how everything is temporary. I mean, after things, I don't get upset about that many things after that. Because you recognize life goes, you have a mission, you're here, make the best of it, and don't major minor things at the end of the day. Little things I used to be worried about, a lot of things I that got me to let go even more. I got to let go. When you see death, you really see, you know, what are you here forever? So if you're here, if you're not here forever, don't complain about everything. Live life instead of constantly worrying and all these things. Incredible. What are your plans now for the future, Isaac? What plans you have? What are some things you want to? We obviously want to try to put this in a book, God willing. Want to try to other ways practical to let go in Judaism? How would you say saying thank you is practically saying letting go? What other ways can a person let go practically?
Yeah, absolutely. Saying thank you, being present,
being
understanding
present,
that each moment is a gift. It's a present.
How do you let go of somebody that insulted you, for example?
Of course, it's not easy.
Right.
Of course, you're always challenged to react.
Right.
There are three different stages of us being faced with a situation. Either we prevent it, or we react, or we correct.
Right.
So, of course, the best one is to prevent. Try not to react. But if you already did, come back and correct.
Right.
Come back and clean the mess. Face the responsibility. Of course, someone that insults you, You always have that. We were talking about the natural instinct, which is the normal reaction that
sure,
we always do. Would always do if we don't have willpower to control ourselves. And if you react, know that you can come back, clean the mess, be responsible, learn from the mistakes, and grow from that. If you can prevent it, that's also amazing. I like the story where there's a guy that sees that someone drops their wallet. Two kinds of different reactions. Either he would be able to he stretches and gives the wallet back, which is of course the best reaction.
He says it's mine.
Or the guy that starts running, gets to the corner, realizes what he did, comes back and say, "I'm sorry, I took your wallet." Which one gives Hashem more pleasure?
The second guy,
because it takes much more effort.
It's a struggle, right?
It's a struggle to come back. It's a struggle to come back and recognize your mistakes and understand that you're not perfect. Right. You're not meant to be perfect, but you always have the opportunity to come back to your Creator, say I'm sorry, hug Him, feel His warmth, and be able to grow from that experience. And
what would you give the other listeners? Obviously, whether working on what practical tools would you recommend? Would you say his book, The Dude, is probably the most important thing?
Absolutely. Have a morning routine. Yeah. Like you always say in your classes, very important to have a morning routine. Break the night, break your sleep, make it part of yourself in which you can recognize where you are, look around you, recognize that what you have, you were given, your home, being on a safe bed, having clothes, having food, having whatever you need in order to survive, but not only survive, but thrive in life. It's something that you got here for free. Everything that we have is a loan. We receive it, we enjoy it, and we're giving it back.
Amazing.
Sooner or later. So if you see yourself as being grateful for everything that you have, you're able to give more value to your gifts. One thing that helps me a lot is when I'm going through a situation, I try to zoom out. Just as you zoom out from Google Earth, just zoom out. Look at yourself in the middle of the map and understand, try to focus where are the four cardinal points, where is north, where is east, where is west, where is south. Because now you can understand you're part of a whole thing. You're part of a, you're not the center of your universe if you're thinking from your ego. So when you zoom out, you understand that you shouldn't be the center of your universe when you're on your ego state. But when you're on your soul state, you are in the center of your universe. You have the ability to understand that everything that has been created around you is created for you. You are the center. Right now, I'm sitting in this chair. I'm the center of my universe. Mm-hmm. As much as you are, you're the center of your universe. And we link each other, and we find ourselves, and we have a common ground. But at the same time, you have your whole area of influence. Right. I have my whole area of influence. So something that works a lot for me is when I'm going through a constricted consciousness, I try to zoom out, look at myself from as far as I can, going back generations, looking at my ancestors.
Generations too,
yes.
Wow.
Looking at my ancestors, what they had to go through in order for me to be here. What they had to defend. They went just 80 years ago, they were going through wars. My ancestors, together with your ancestors. 80 years ago, while they were fighting their own wars, trying to survive, which was the first item on the pillars of Hashem, on the chart, trying to survive, they never imagined that you and I would be here in Miami, in a free country, talking about our Creator, being grateful with anything that we need and everything that we need in order to have a happy life. Mm. And when you see that, you gain perspective. When you have perspective, you value what you have because you understand that we're just a link. And then while you zoom out, you see your next generations. And you see that every action, every decision, everything that you do today has an impact, wow, like a ripple effect, also down to your descendants. Yes. So you're at the same time as you're honoring your ascendants, you're building the foundation for your descendants.
We're building a legacy at the same time.
At the same
keeping
time.
Keeping the legacy up.
We're passing the torch. Beautiful. We're linking. We're passing the torch. So how cannot you feel empowered with such an opportunity where Hashem is giving you His time and His space and His consciousness? We're talking in the beginning about consciousness. That consciousness, that field that allows us to communicate with our Creator in a way where we can understand Him. We used to read in a book that our ancestors, our forefathers, communicated with Him directly. Moses did it through the burning bush the first time. We all have our own burning bushes. We just need to be awake in order to see how our Creator is communicating with us, because we're empowered. And if we think, a major thing in my relationship with Hashem was not thinking that I am here and He's there.
Right.
But knowing that He's everywhere, He's within me. He's in every cell, in every molecule, in every atom, in everything that happens inside me. And also, he's around us to eternity and infinity. So if you're one with your creator, then what you feel, what you think, what you say, and what you do, if you align all of those ways of expression, then you become a channel, you become useful, you become a tool. And if he's created, he's a master of this master plan, if he created this master plan and he brought us into life, if we allow him to make this place a better place through us, through you individually, and at the same time to all of us collectively, then I think we can continue our lives knowing
amen.
That when we come to a point where we need to turn back and analyze who we were and what we did, we should come back to Hashem saying, this is what I did with your investment. This is what I did with everything that you invested in me. You gave me your time, you gave me your space, you gave me your abilities, your resources, your merits, and this is what I did. And at that time, we won't be able to go back.
Right.
We have today. That's why we need to act today.
I'll do your paycheck. Isaac, thank you so much. It was amazing. We will post this on the WhatsApp groups, and we look to further and further and more conversations. Amazing.
Thank you, Gadali. Thank you.
Very good, Isaac.